take this opportunity to thank everyone for coming together so that we can rejoice together this Christmas. Special thanks to the choir for the anthems that they have prepared for today's carol service. Thanks also to everyone who decorated the windows for Christmas. The theme is Christmas Unwrapped. Oh, David. Can we... Is that all right now? Hopefully. Sorry about the sound. So the windows have been decorated on the theme of Christmas Unwrapped. This morning we had an all-age service looking at that, and they were going to continue with that theme for this evening's service. So thanks very much indeed to the those who have decorated the windows for us. And special thanks also to those who have prepared the supper. Immediately after our carol service today, we are going to go through to the Rowan Hall and share in some supper together. To get to the Rowan Hall, for those of you who may not be familiar with it, to go through these doors, turn right, then left, and you will be seated in the hall and we'll be able to share some Christmas supper together. And I would like to take this opportunity to welcome my friend and colleague, the Reverend Eleanor Hayden, and the folk from Maine Methodist, especially to our service this evening. It's lovely to have you with us this year, and we enjoy this tradition that we have now set up where you come to us every other year, and in the alternate years then we will go to you on an afternoon for a carol service up in Maine Methodist. So it's lovely to have you, and thank you so much for taking part in our service this evening. And with that, I'm going to invite Eleanor to come forward to lead us in prayer. Eleanor.
First of all, I wonder, could I respond to Jane's very warm welcome tonight? On behalf of Maine Methodist, we're just delighted to be here. As a smaller church, we do so much value your friendship, Jane, and the friendship of this congregation, and the relationship that has developed over the years. Not only do we value the friendship, but we have discovered that sense of encouragement as we meet together, and we do want to thank you for that. So it's a delight to be here tonight. We have been remarking on how beautiful the church is decorated, and on already a number of people have said how beautiful the windows are, and we can easily see that every window tells a story, the story of a tremendous gift that is given to us, and it is new and amazing and fresh every day. So whoever has been doing the charming decoration, thank you for it, because it speaks volumes. So let's just quieten our hearts as we enjoy the relationship together, and as we enjoy ultimately our relationship with our Lord and Saviour. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we do so much look forward to this opportunity of being together, Presbyterian and Methodist congregations. But beyond that, Heavenly Father, we thank you for the joy of being in a relationship with you and the faith that we share in the kingdom of God. We thank you for this lovely season of Advent and this fourth Sunday that leads us up to Christmas morning, and the joy that we share in celebrating your birth, the fulfillment of prophecy, and the culmination of God's purpose here expressed in pure and extravagant love. So, loving Father, we thank you for all that is represented in the gift of Christmas and for what it means, and for the joy of this Advent season when we look internally and externally, and when we ask ourselves, how are we doing? How are we journeying? How are we enjoying the joyful relationship that we have with you? So, Father God, we come before you tonight. And as we journey into this service of worship, we ask indeed that we will journey with open hearts, anticipating a fresh experience with you. Thank you, Lord, that your love is shining in this dark, broken world. Thank you, Lord, that your love can shine in our hearts with the relationship that we enjoy with you. So, loving God, in this moment, we celebrate who you are, and we truly look to you, our expression of hope, and we journey tonight anticipating all that you have for us. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
Thank you very much, Eleanor. Our first lesson this evening will be read by Emma Jane Fowler. It's Isaiah 9, 2, 6, and 7.
The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. They lived in a land of shadows, but now light is shining on them. A child is born to us, a son is given to us, and he will be our ruler. He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. His royal power will continue to grow. His kingdom will always be at peace. He will rule as King David's successor, basing his power on right and justice, from now until the end of time. The Lord Almighty is determined to do all this.
I think, David, possibly in light of the squealing of the sound, I'm just going to use the one microphone here at the reading desk. So I invite you all to stand together to sing our opening carol, 3-8, O Come All Ye Faithful. Our second reading is from the prophet Micah, chapter 5, verses 2 to 5, and this will be read by Gavin Kelly from Maine Methodist.
The Lord says, Bethlehem Ephrathah, you are one of the smallest towns in Judah, but out of you I will bring a ruler of Israel, whose family's lines go back to ancient times. So the Lord will abandon his people to their enemies until the woman who is to give birth has her son. Then those Israelites who are in exile will be reunited with their own people. When he comes, he will rule his people with the strength that comes from the Lord and with the majesty of the Lord God. His people will live in safety because people all over the earth will acknowledge his greatness and will bring peace.
Thank you very much. That was very well read, Gavin. And I understand that he and his brother have been discussing the height of the Christmas tree. And one thinks it's one height and the other thinks it's another. And I have no idea what height it is. But Irwin maybe knows because he puts it away in the box. Irwin, do you know what height the Christmas? 12 foot? 12 foot. Looks like Gavin might have won that. Well done, Gavin. So we come once again to worship God with our next carol, which is hymn 330, O Little Town of Bethlehem, and we'll sing the first three verses. And our third lesson will be read by Janice Vance, Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 35, and then verse 38.
In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to a town in Galilee named Nazareth. He had a message for a young woman promised in marriage to a man named Joseph, who was a descendant of King David. Her name was Mary. The angel came to her and said, Peace be with you, The Lord is with you and has greatly blessed you." Mary was deeply troubled by the angel's message, and she wondered what his words meant. The angel said to her, "Don't be afraid, Mary. God has been gracious to you. You will become pregnant and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High God. The Lord God will make him a king as his ancestor David was, and he will be the king of the descendants of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." Mary said to the angel, "I am a virgin. How then can this be?" The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and God's power will rest upon you. For this reason, the Holy Child will be called the Son of God." "I am the Lord's servant," said Mary. "May it happen to me as you have said." And the angel left her.
The choir are now going to lead us in the anthem "When Shepherds Watched and Angels Sang." And our fourth lesson will be from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 1, verses 18 to 23, and this will be read for us by Paul Hawkes from Maine Methodist. Paul.
Oh. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ took place. His mother Mary was engaged to Joseph, but before they were married, she found out that she was going to have a baby by the Holy Spirit. Joseph was a man who always did what was right, but he did not want to disgrace Mary publicly, so he made plans to break the engagement privately. While he was thinking about this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, descendant of David, do not be afraid to take Mary to be your wife, for it is by the Holy Spirit that she has conceived. She will have a son, and you will call, and you will name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." Now all this happened in order to make come true what the Lord had said through the prophets. A virgin will become pregnant and have a son, and he will be called Emmanuel, which means God is with us.
Thank you, and time now for the congregation to sing once again hymn 323, which I know is a personal favourite of some of the men in the choir, so I'm sure you will hear them singing loudly. In the Bleak Midwinter, hymn number 323. Our fifth lesson is read by Emma Fleming, and it's Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 7.
At that time, Emperor Augustus ordered a census to be taken throughout the Roman Empire. When this first census took place, Quirinius was the governor of Syria. Everyone then went to register himself, each to his own hometown. Joseph went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to the town of Bethlehem in Judea, the birthplace of King David. Joseph went there because he was a descendant of David. He went to register with Mary, who was promised in marriage to him. She was pregnant, and while they were in Bethlehem, the time came for her to have her baby. She gave birth to her first son, wrapped him in cloths, and laid him in a manger. There was no room for them to stay in the inn.
I'm going to ask David to play a little Christmas music video for you entitled The Gift.
Bill and Estelle from number 7, they've bought a present.
Hang on a minute, quick, cup of good gifts from last year. No, bring one here.
What can this be? Was this for me? Who is this from? Just pass it on.
Merry, 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 merry Christmas.
Merry, 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 merry Christmas. Santa for a day must spend on just £5 or less.
Crumbs I forgot, not have I brought. What have we here? Be of good cheer. My very own.
A library loan.
This isn't new.
It's overdue. Merry, 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 merry Christmas.
Merry, 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 merry Christmas.
Wonder did that video ring any bells? Has anybody ever done that? Somebody's arrived at your door and you suddenly realise, oh, I've no gift for them, and running up and picking out a present that you hadn't even opened from the year before. It's certainly something that a lot of us feel in the stress coming up to Christmas. How are we going to get everything fitted in? All that giving and receiving of gifts. Often not because we want to, but because it's the done thing to do. Passing around presents, but not truly receiving those gifts that are given to us. It's all consumerism, commercialism of Christmas, diluting the joy of giving and receiving presents from those we love. On Friday, I had the great pleasure of welcoming Oma High School here to their carol service, and their new principal, Mr. Gaitatsis, who's from Greece originally. And he shared a story that I thought would fit in very well with the theme of our service in relation to gifts. And he talked about, so if any of you were at the Oma High School service, I don't know if any young people are here that were there, or any of the teachers or parents, but he shared this story of a couple who were in love on the Mega Night for, you know, about 9 or 10 months, and they weren't really quite sure whether they should be getting one another Christmas presents or not. But they decided, yes, they really loved one another, and they were going to buy each other a Christmas present, and they were going to exchange them on Christmas Eve. Now, this couple didn't have an awful lot of money, and so they really wanted to get something very special for each other. So the girl thought, how am I going to get money to buy my boyfriend a present? And she had lovely, long, flowing hair. She decided to cut off her hair and sell it for wigs, and then with that money, she bought a gift for her boyfriend. And her boyfriend was sitting, how on earth am I going to get enough money to buy that gift that I really want to buy my girlfriend? And he thought, I know what I'm going to do. So he sold the gold pocket watch that his great-grandfather had passed down through the family line. So it came to Christmas Eve. The couple had gone and each bought the present that they wanted to give to the other. And they sat down and exchanged presents. And he gave her a beautiful comb for her lovely long hair. And she bought him a gold chain so he wouldn't lose his great-grandfather's pocket watch. Each one sacrificing something precious to give their beloved a most precious gift in return. And that's the type of gift giving that Christmas is all about. The sacrificial gift of love. That sacrificial gift of love that God gave to us in the gift of his Son, Jesus Christ, born to be our Saviour. He gave that gift in love. Christ sacrificed himself in love for us. The question is, will we receive the gift God offers to us? Or will we just take it on from this carol service and pass it on to someone else, maybe tell someone a little story, but not let it actually affect us in any way? It's just a token thing that we do come to carol services, we move on and do the next thing that's on the Christmas list. So often we get caught up in the traditions of Christmas. Let us this Christmas take time to receive that precious gift from God, the gift of Jesus Christ, and allow the love of the giver, God, to enter into our hearts and transform us into the people he has called us to be, so that we can be gifts to other people. Gifts of sacrificial love shown to others, willing to go that extra mile, to do that extra task for someone, not because we ought to do it, but because we want to do it, and we want to do it out of love. The good news of the gospel is a gift. It doesn't cost us anything to receive it, but when we receive it, we are called to pass it on to others, so that they too can come to know the precious gift that God offers to us in Jesus. So this evening I have got a little book that goes with the little comedy show, musical that was on. It's entitled The Gift. What if Christmas gave you what you've always wanted? And in this little gift, it talks about the Christmas traditions, and it also talks about the greatest gift of all. And so in a moment, the men from the choir are going to come out and hand a book entitled The Gift to every family that's here present this evening. And I would ask you to receive this gift, to read it, to think about what it says, and then if you have not already received the gift of Christ into your heart, then take this Christmas to be the time where you accept God's love for you in Jesus Christ. And then a little challenge. Think about somebody else that you know, whether it be a family member or a friend, who could do with receiving the gift too. And then pass the book on to someone else so that they too can read about the greatest gift that anyone could ever receive on Christmas morning. So I'm going to invite the choir members to come forward and hand out the gifts, and John has very kindly agreed to play some music whilst that. That's great. There are a few still left over, so we'll leave them in the hall for the supper. And if anyone wants to take an extra book and pass it on, then please feel free to do that. Our sixth lesson is Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 20. This will be read for us by Grace Hawkes.
There were some shepherds in that part of the country who were spending the night in the fields taking care of their flocks. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone upon them. They were terribly afraid, but the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid, I am here with good news for you, which will bring great joy to all the people. This very day in David's town your Saviour was born, Christ the Lord, and this is what will prove it to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great army of heaven's angels appeared with the angel, singing praises to God. Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to those whom he has pleased. When the angel went away from them back into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and saw the baby lying in the manger. When the shepherds saw him, they told them what the angel had said about the child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherd said. Mary remembered all these things and thought deeply about them. The shepherds went back, singing praises to God for all they had heard and seen. It had been just as the angels had told them.
you, Grace. And we'll follow that reading with hymn 340, While Shepherds Watch Their Flocks by Night. For years and years and years, I did some carol singing on Christmas morning in the dark before the sun came up. So I'm so used to singing the old lyrics of those carols. So I was caught out a few times there with the modern versions. But we come now to the next stage in the Christmas story as Ian Alexander comes forward to read Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 to 6.
Jesus was born in the town of Bethlehem in Judea during the time when Herod was king. Soon afterwards, some men who studied the stars came from the east to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the baby born to be the king of the Jews? We saw his star when it came up in the east, and we have come to worship him." When King Herod heard about this, he was very upset, and so was everyone else in Jerusalem. He called together all the chief priests and the teachers of the law and asked them, "Where will the Messiah be born?" "In the town of Bethlehem in Judea," they answered, "for this is what the prophet wrote, 'Bethlehem in the land of Judah, you are by no means the least of the leading cities of Judah, for from you will come a leader who will guide my people Israel.'"
Thank you, Ian. And the choir are now going to sing us in their final anthem, One Single Light.
Shining brightly all over God, where clear birds soar with brilliance. That's lovely. Thank you very much once again to John and to the choir for those beautiful anthems this evening, adding to our worship carol service this evening. Our eighth lesson is Matthew chapter 2, verses 7 to 11, and will be read by another Hawkes family member, Glenn Hawkes, this time from Main Methodist.
Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the young child, and when you have found him, bring back word to me, that I may come and worship also." When they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented the gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh.
Let us join together in prayer. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, at this season of Christmas, we are mindful that your Son came into the world as a helpless baby born into poverty without a place to call his own. We remember this evening people throughout the world, both near and far, who have nowhere safe to lay their heads, people who are homeless or displaced through war or famine or personal circumstance. Grant them, we pray this Christmas, a welcoming embrace, a wholesome meal, and a warm place to rest their weary heads. Heavenly Father, at this season of Christmas, we are mindful that you sent your holy angels to bring good news to the shepherds on the hillside. We remember this evening people throughout the world, both near and far, who long to hear the angels singing glad tidings of great joy, bringing good news to lift a weary head, good news to fill a sorrowing heart, good news to grant a restless soul peace and tranquility. Heavenly Father, at this season of Christmas, we are mindful that you guided the wise men to that manger in Bethlehem. We remember this evening people throughout the world, both near and far, who are searching for purpose and meaning in life. People who long for wisdom and guidance to know which path to choose. And people who need to know and experience for themselves the Saviour's love for them. Heavenly Father, at this season of Christmas, we are mindful of all that Christ brought into this world, his love, his joy, his peace, and his hope. We ask, O Lord, that we would be bearers of his light, sharing his love, his joy, his peace, and his hope with those both near and far, this Christmas time and always. Amen. We worship that one who was born in Bethlehem, born in Royal David's City, hymn 331. Let us sing verses 1, 2, 5 and 6.
Thank you.
And I'm delighted to welcome my friend Eleanor once again to bring the ninth lesson, John chapter 1, verses 1 to 14, to us this evening. Eleanor.
In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. From the very beginning, the Word was with God. Through him, God made all things. Not one thing in all creation was made without him. The Word was the source of life, and this brought light to people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has never put it out. God sent his messenger, a man named John, who came to tell the people about the light so that they all should hear the message and believe. He himself was not the light. He came to tell about the light. This was the real light, the light that comes into the world and shines on all people. The Word was in the world, and though God made the world through him, yet the world did not recognize him. He came to his own country, but his own people did not receive him. Some, however, did receive him and believed in him, so he gave them the right to become God's children. They did not become God's children by natural means, that is, by being born as the children of a human father. God himself was their father. The Word became a human being and, full of grace and truth, lived among us. We saw his glory, the glory which he received as the Father's only Son. Amen.
And so we come to our final carol, which is carol number 325, Joy to the World. Let's stand together and sing of the joy that Christ brings into our lives. Heavenly Father, we thank you for all your goodness to us. We thank you especially for the gift of Christ. We thank you too for this time of fellowship and friendship together with our brothers and sisters from Maine Methodist. And we pray that you will continue to bless us and bless the food and the refreshments that have been prepared for us in the Rowan Hall. We thank you, Lord, for all your goodness and pray that we may know the blessing of Jesus Christ this Christmas, the love of the Father, and the companionship of the Holy Spirit. Amen.